Today's scripture reading is taken from Psalm 130. Verse 1. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I hope. And my soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning. More than watchmen for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A very good morning to one and all, on site as well as online. It is good to see you on this first Advent Sunday. Before we begin, let us join our hearts in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, the light of the world, we give you thanks for the start of Advent. Thank you for your presence and faithfulness in our lives. We pray for attentive ears and hearts as we listen to you this morning. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Advent begins on the four Sundays before Christmas, which is today. Advent marks the start of the liturgical year. It is a season of waiting. During Advent, we anticipate the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, as well as his second coming in glory. Today, being the start of Advent, we shall celebrate hope. The word hope, as defined by the Evangelical Dictionary of Biblical Theology, is to trust in, to wait for, to look for, or desire something or somebody, or to expect something beneficial to happen in future. The verbs used in this definition is trust, wait, look, desire, expect. Sometimes, finding hope seems futile. Someone found a job that promised growth, but all he finds is the mundane. Someone hopes that the friendship will not remain superficial, but will blossom and grow, yet it did not happen. Another person has been praying, but she feels that her prayers were not heard. She feels as if she's drowned in despair and cannot climb out of the dark pit. Well, how can our days be filled with prayerful hope? Our text for today is Psalm 130. Psalm 130 is known as a psalm of ascent. In biblical times, the pilgrims made their way from dusty road up to Jerusalem for a festival. They ascend from a lower plateau to a higher ground. The journey was spiritual as they prepared their hearts and minds to attend this festival. They are looking for a hope-filled worship to encounter God. In Christian traditions, Psalm 130 became one of the seven penitential psalms. The pilgrims have a deep sense of awareness of their sinfulness. They hope to experience a sense of grace through the encounter of the God of heaven and earth. This psalm is indeed an ascent. From the depth of his despaired soul, the psalmist cries out to God. He waits patiently and places his trust in God and rises to hopefulness in God. Next slide, please. And the next slide. Today's message is hope in God because of his steadfast love. Psalm 130 testifies to God's steadfast love as a source of hope and redemption. The psalmist has a confidence that God is listening, he will forgive. God is compassionate and he will grant relief. God is steadfast in love, he will grant redemption and deliverance. The psalmist is crying out to God. He cries out to God for help. Verses 1 and 2. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Does this sound familiar to you? Does it resonate in your heart? Well, the psalmist does not simply cry out from the depths. If you notice, he cried out to God. He's lamenting his pain to God. In lament prayer, it is a confession of faith. It is a profound faith that God is present in the turmoil of our lives. The psalmist is a hopeful person. He cries to God. He reveals his absolute dependence on him. He's confident that God will hear him, be attentive to him, and grant him relief. Well, one of my darkest moments was when my dad was diagnosed with cancer some 15 years ago. All I could do is to cry out to God. The cries were from the deep abyss of my heart. And this period, I'm crying out to God again. grieving over the decline of my mom's health due to Alzheimer's disease. When we are in despair, a lot of emotions run deep in our heart. Like the psalmist, in our plea, we acknowledge our human frailties and weakness. We acknowledge our inability to overcome the problems before us. Help may not come immediately, but with God, there is steadfast love. God hears our cries, and God sees our tears, and he understands our grief. Verses 3 to 4. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who can stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. Not only does God hear, he acts. God mediates forgiveness. Sin damages the relationship between God and man. It causes disparity between God and humanity. The psalmist acknowledged that it is God's character to forgive, and only God alone has the authority to forgive. Without God's disposition to forgive, we would have perished. Forgiveness reconciles the relationship between God and man. It leads to fear and renewed faith. It draws us closer to God and have confident trust in Him. Having said that, this anguish in Psalm 130 is not limited to the sinful person that is alienated from God, but rather this refers to a broad spectrum of pain and despair that leaves a person drowning in the depth of sorrow. Corrie ten Boom was a Dutch Christian. Together with her sister Betsy and her family members, they helped many Jews. They helped the Jewish people to escape from the Nazis during the Holocaust in World War II. And they hid them in their house. But sadly, they were caught, and Corrie ten Boom was sent to the Ravensbrück concentration camp. This was a very notorious camp. It was a camp to exterminate the women. Some 130 prisoners were sent to this camp. Only 40,000 survived. The camp was filled with hatred and anger. By God's grace, Corrie's sister Betsy was able to show love and care to the prisoners and guards. But she was sorrowful about what the Germans were doing. As for Corrie ten Boom, in her darkest moment, she said she could not look to heaven. Sometimes in our despair, we feel alienated from God, but God is ever present. Nonetheless, Corrie ten Boom cried out to God. Eugene Peterson was an American Presbyterian minister, theologian, and author. He wrote, "Sufferings is the sandpaper of our incarnation. It smooths and polishes us, and it does its best work in the rough and unyielding places." This quotation reinforces that suffering is painful. It is like sandpaper rubbing on our tender skin. However, this has the potential to shape and refine us during challenging times. Corrie ten Boom suffered greatly at the camp. In her crying, she found hope in God, and she shared the hope in God with others while in prison at the camp. How does it look like for us? We may not experience what Corrie ten Boom went through in the concentration camp, but each of us has our own depths to endure. A broken relationship, cyber bullies or harassment, challenging office politics. Like the psalmist and Corrie ten Boom, we can come to Jesus, pour out our pain to Him, and trust that Jesus is a loving God who listens. Little by little, we trust God with our pain, and little by little, we surrender our will to God and trust in His plan and timing. Because of God's steadfast love, we cried out to Him for help. The psalm begins with the psalmist wrestling in the depths because he trusts in a loving and merciful God. But it does not end there. It does not carry on very long in the depth. The one who prays will move on to wait on the Lord. We shall see that the psalmist's waiting is not one of agony or despair, but it is one filled with hope. Because of God's steadfast love, the psalmist waits patiently for God. Verses 5 and 6. "I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in His word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord, more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. The psalmist began with calling out to God from the depth of depths. He did not stay stagnant there. He moves on to a new posture. It is a posture of waiting. He uses the word wait three times in these two verses. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. My soul waits for the Lord. To many people, waiting seems futile, as nothing seems to be happening. In our modern world, we want things fast and quick. We grab food instantly. We grab transport instantly. And we have our fingers on our handphone all the time to get instant information. Waiting gives negative connotations. Well, on the contrary, Christian waiting is filled with hope. As mentioned earlier, hope is to trust in, wait for, look for, or desire something or somebody, or to expect something beneficial to happen in the future. Well, in Christian waiting, we have an object of our hope, and this object is God, a God of steadfast love. There's a sense of hopeful expectation for this loving God to act. This sketch shows an ancient city in the Bible times. To protect the city, walls were built surrounding it, and guards were stationed in the city walls. The watchmen keep watch at night. They face potential danger from the outside as well as inside the city. Though it may be daunting, the guard watched with intense alertness. The watchmen longed for relief. They longed for daylight to come to end their danger and darkness. Just as the watchman awaits the morning, the psalmist waits on the Lord. This imagery emphasizes the certainty and patience in expecting God's presence and action. It highlights a profound trust in His steadfast love. During the wait, God was working in him. He built up watchfulness, perseverance, and resilience. Hope was rising. In Christian waiting, God uses the period to transform us. But waiting is not easy. Waiting is lonely and long, especially in places like the hospital. Evelyn Bench's friend suffered cancer and its harsh treatment. Her friend was surrounded by pride, fatigue and fear. As she approached her end, her friend said she was not afraid of death, but of dying. She was not fearful of meeting her Maker, but of going through the valley. Nearing the end, she knew she had to throw herself towards the mercy and love of God, or passively let herself fall into the abyss of grace. Evelyn sat with her friend for long stretches of time in the final week of her life. She would grab a breakfast muffin before she left home. When she saw a friend, she would be watching and waiting together with her. In these morning watches, she said her friend never spoke a word. She just nodded in acknowledgement. When Evelyn played choral recordings, her friend turned her head towards the heaven, and with a strained voice, she said, "Oh God, our help, With a strained voice, she said, "Oh God, our help." Evelyn was watching with the fearful dying and waiting for the dawn to come. In pastoral ministry, we visit the sick at their home, in the hospital, or in the hospice. Sometimes it can be challenging in waiting and watching. However, there are many times that I witness how the church member and their families show great strength as they wait on the Lord. While waiting, they pray and discern God's direction and intervention for them. John Piper is an American theologian and pastor in the Reformed Baptist tradition. He wrote, "Waiting on God is not a passive waiting, but an active waiting. It is waiting with expectation, waiting with hope, waiting with faith." This means that while waiting on God, it involves proactive engagement. One does not just sit back and relax and do nothing, but one should be active, preparing, praying, and staying alert for signs of God's guidance. This waiting is filled with hope. Even when things seem uncertain, we maintain a hopeful attitude, trusting that God is in control and He has a plan and He will bring about good outcomes. What difference will waiting make in our lives? What are you waiting for? Someone is waiting for her child to come back. Someone is waiting and discerning for vocation, wondering what job to choose. Yet another person is waiting for reconciliation. There are many instances of waiting in life, yet we wait because of the steadfastness, of the steadfast love of God and the mercy of God. Because of God's steadfast love, we cry out to Him for help and wait for Him with perseverance. God's people begin with prayer in despair because of His steadfast love. God's people wait patiently for His response. Our God is a God of steadfast love. He is also a redeeming God. And God's people put their hope in Him, trusting in His faithfulness and love. Because of God's steadfast love, we put our hope in Him. Verses 7 and 8 reads, "O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with Him is plentiful redemption, and He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Here the psalmist is compelled by God's unfailing love. This impels him to speak out. He now moves on to encourage the community, Israel, to join him and stand firm and hope in the Lord. For God will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Iniquities has enslaving consequences, especially in warfare, wrote one Bible commentator. Ancient and modern wars are some of the most oppressive power, and this arises from the sin of humanity. We have read about past wars and have seen news of the ongoing conflict today. For the oppressed, violence and exploitation are constant threats for them, and this makes them feel trapped with no hope of liberation in darkness. Only the God of redemption can grant redemption to the oppressed, victimized by the oppressive power of human sinfulness. Only this God of steadfast love could provide hope amidst the overwhelming despair in the world. Beyond the readiness to mark iniquities, God's steadfast love gives power, determination, and hope to redeem us from this wrongdoing and to triumph over the destructive powers of communal alienation and estrangement. And therefore, the psalmist urges his listener to wait in hope. He encourages everyone who understands the cry from the depths to join in this hopeful waiting. A year after the Ukraine-Russia war, Elmer Fowler article featured stories of hope and heartaches. One pastor called Bricha, he wrote, "We are witnessing huge needs and a huge need for God's light to be poured out on people who have lost loved ones, who no longer have a place to live, who have become injured, and who are suffering from the traumatic experiences they have endured." He says, it is a big challenge. Prayer is vital and will keep our hands strong and able to work. I am extremely grateful to all our friends from abroad who support us. Your help has had an incredible impact. Well, despite the constant danger, Pastor Bricher remains steadfast in his faith. Even when there is much uncertainty, he continues to spread hope and love among his community. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch professor, writer, and theologian. He wrote, "God's steadfast love is a light that shines in the darkness, guiding us through oppression and reminding us that we are never alone." Nouwen's quote highlights that God's steadfast love offers hope and guidance during darkest moments. God's steadfast love ensures that we are never alone. He provides strength to help us navigate through oppression and challenges. And he reminds us of his constant presence in our lives. What will it look like if we all took this hope seriously? Within the church, some groups struggle with feelings of uncertainty and discouragement. Within the community, some individuals are marginalized, and some are fearful of expectation. How may you look to God instead of relying on yourself? And in what ways can you put your hope in God? Because of God's steadfast love, we wait on Him and we put our hope in Him. Well, in conclusion, because of God's steadfast love, we cried out to Him for help. We wait for Him patiently and prayerfully put our hope in God. Psalm 130 beautifully captures the steadfastness of God. We have the confidence that God will listen, forgive, love, grant relief and redemption. Corinne Ten Boom survived the Holocaust. She was polished by God and she later became a Christian writer and public speaker. And she brings encouragement and hope to the people around her. Eugene Benz watched and waited together with her friend until the dawn of the morning. Despite harsh condition of war, God's steadfast love enabled Pastor Bricha to spread hope and love among his community. The psalmist was in despair. He turned to God and pleaded for help. He waited and he watched with hope. You may be experiencing darkness. God knows your weakness and he understands your struggles. You can find assurance and hope in him. This Advent season, let us pray fervently, wait patiently, and hope confidently in the Lord. Let us close in prayer. Dear Almighty God, we thank you for Advent. In this season of Advent, as we wait for the birth of Jesus and his second coming in glory, grant us peace of mind and heart as we wait and hope. May your steadfast love and redeeming love grant us hope that sustain us through all trials and triumphs. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.